Nothing down the hill, are there? This Lewis Folkson never was married, and he lived with his brother Lehman. And then on the other side of the house was Melvin and his wife, and they raised a family there. And down the hill, that house farthest down was a very small house, and another Wilkson brother, George. And he and his wife, they were very nice people. His wife used to go and work for my mother, help her, you know.
Ethel? There. Was that Ethel?
No, her name was Carrie. Ethel was she was one of Lehman's girls. She married that Ed LaPorte. The ferries in town was operated by Lewis Wilkson, Port Franklin, John Witherell, Witherell's Ferry, and John D. Brooks, the ferry, formerly Kaplan's Ferry. That's on page 396. I didn't mean to mark it, this book, but I did make a mark. It tells the physicians here. This Dr. Townsend, he owned a house down here where Ellen Merrick sold and moved out of. He lived there, and Dr. Blaisdell, he owned and lived where the priest lived.
Oh. Yeah.
He brought me into the world, and he brought my daughter.
Oh.
Dr. Blaisdell.
What year is that book? It says the post office was not established until recently. So is that an 1890 book?
Goes back rather than that. Goes back to the end of the... There's one date. First burial was made over in a cemetery. This is the first deed. First deed of land recorded in Bridport was on May 20th, 1766, by Colonel Ephraim Doolittle to Donald Hemenoy. And the land is situated between Ticonderoga and Crown Point on the Vermont side. On the east side of Wood Creek. Mm-hmm. And that's on page 381.
There's £6 to me in hand, paid by Daniel Hemenway of Shrewsbury, Worcester County, Mass., to 6 rights of land granted by His Majesty King George III, under seal of the province of New Hampshire, situate on Wood Creek or South Bay waters, on the east side thereof, near Crown Point and Ticonderoga Forts. The rights granted to Nathan Baldwin, Samuel Crawford, Nahum Willard, Samuel Brewer, Noah Jones, and Jacob Hemenway, which I Ephraim Doolittle have received deeds of release from the original proprietors, which Township of Lands are now in the province of New York, set my hand and seal, May 20th, 1766, in the 6th year of His Majesty's reign, Ephraim Doolittle.
You know, the first first minister that came to this town, I guess there was some others that preached here off and on, but the first settled minister here in town was
Increase Graves.
And we heard a guy said it was on fire. We heard on television just a short time ago that Increase Graves was the man that gave the oath of office to one of the first presidents of the United States.
Oh.
We just heard it just the other day.
Hmm.
Mike and I, of course, we didn't have any paper and pencil to get it down, and I don't know if it was the first president, if it was George Washington or the second one, but it said Increase Graves, so my... My grandfather's picture is right here, too, that,
Aikens Duckett?
Yeah.
Oh. Fine-looking man.
Well, he's got whiskers, and never went to a barber shop too often, but, I guess they used to do their own barbering.
Yes. They did a lot of things for themselves.
Yeah. They live where Manning does.
Oh, yes.
That's where he settled.
And who was his wife?
He had two. He married when he first came down here. He married a woman from over in Crown Point, and they raised a family. And the whole family was wiped out with an epidemic. I don't know if it was a typhoid fever or scarlet fever. Well, some of the graves are right back of Manning's house, out in that pasture.
Oh, they are? But there's no stones?
No, no markers or anything.
Oh.
And the rest of them, his first wife and... two or three of the children are buried up there on the hill by where the Hustis boys live. And then he married my grandmother, Anne Scott. She came over from Scotland. She and her brother, Tommy Scott. And she and grandfather was married. And she came from the same place as that, there's a grave down there.
Yes.
She came from the same place that that man did, in Glasgow, Scotland.
Mm-hmm. What a coincidence.
Yeah. I had this book, you know, when the, church had their 175th anniversary over here. I had that book over there, and Peterson's put those cards in it.
Oh. That was the time when Edward sang solo and duet. I'll never forget how nice that was.
He and Rose sang a duet.
Yes. Could I see this back of this? I noticed it was the that. Could I copy that?
Oh, I have a few of those pamphlets left. I kept them to scribble on. I'm getting to where I write a letter. I write it out first on this and copy it.
Do you remember anything about the who ran the stage from Middlebury? Has there always been a star route since you can remember?
Mm-hmm.
And Theron Wolcott had it for a long while.
Yes, but I can remember far back when the old man had it, Charlie Barrows. That's Frank Barrows' father.
Oh.
Grace Barrows, she lives in Burlington. Some of the boys that are alive. I can remember when he lived down there where Bradley Eustace does. And he had two teams of mules. And they'd use one team in the morning to take the mail out and bring back the other mail in the morning. Then the other team he'd take in the afternoon.
I suppose they weren't stubborn. They were probably well trained.
You should be with him. He was a harsh man of the animals.
Oh.
I don't know. I can't just remember who did take it over. Oh, yes. It lived where Wallace Payne does now. Roscoe Pratt's grandfather? No. Roscoe's uncle. Charlie Pratt. Just to run the star route.
That was before Theron.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Seems as though there was somebody between that and Theron that run the star route.
Well, was that to Barrows?
Well, he never had an automobile, as I remember. He passed away before. I can't remember who did it. But it seems though there was somebody had it between Charlie Barrows and Charlie Pratt. And it seems though that there was somebody after Charlie Pratt gave it up that between him and Theron Wolcott, because it isn't years ago that Theron gave it up.
3 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. There was somebody else before Theron.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember who it was.
Did you ever ride on the stage to go out, or did you have your own transportation to Middlebury?
Oh, we had our own. I never rode down there.
I know Edith Wing used to tell me she rode on the stage. Maybe she was the only one because she didn't have any car.
No, she used to go out quite often then.
She did used to ride the stage.
I was
Yeah.
Unless somebody.
The post office.
she knew somebody was going, why?
I don't want to stay too long.
That's all right, we got all the afternoon. Oh, she was Mary Reba.
She just was telling me about Edith Wing.
Oh.
That she used to wait in the post office for the stage to come back.
Yeah.
Because she didn't have any other way of transportation.
No, unless she knew somebody was going and they would give her a ride out. That was her only way of getting out there.
Get
through our every once and so often she would have some business at the bank or place out there.
We've
taken her out quite a few times.
Who owned her place before the Wings had it?
Well, the Wings had... Well, we never owned that place over there.
No.
You mean this place?
Well, both of them. Who owned this one before you did, and who owned that one before Wings?
Well, it was a... When I was young, going to school, it was two old maids, barbers, I think their name was. Owned that place over there, and they had a barn this side of it. And we'd come up from down to school, up here to school, and we'd either come horseback or drive a two-wheel cart or something like that. So I used to keep my horse over there. I'd see four of us just to keep a horse in there. We'd give her so much. A term.
Oh.
For keeping a horse. Yeah.
That was when you went to the village school here. Seventh grade?
Well, no, it went up to the eighth, I think. Eighth or ninth grade.
Then who did you buy this house of?
Well, when we came back from Townsend, I told you we were living with my father over there. Kenneth and his brother, Russell. There's a record of a Russell on that in there.
Oh.
Kenneth and Russell owned the place. And that part in there, from there was a petition through right to the stairway. And the other side of the petition, that was a store.
Oh.
In there. And, when we found that this brick store was to be sold, I asked Kenneth about going in partnership and buying it. And it was to be put up for sale. They sold by sealed bids. And the only people that bid on it was I put in a bid, and Horace Merrick's father put in a sealed bid. I bid $7,000. That was for the place over there.
Yes.
My bid was $7,900 and something. And Merrick's was a little over 6,000, so we got it, the place.
The house too, or just the store?
House and store.
House and store.
Yeah.
And who had it that...
What's that?
Who had it that you, who had it before then?
Well, that belonged to the D.H. Bennett estate.
Oh yeah, that was Bennett's.
Yeah. And Lee Palmer, Bert Palmer's brother, Lee was an administrator. There's two girls, two Bennett girls. That was their father and mother both passed away, and Anna Russell. Oh, she was Anna Hamilton. She was then, and her first husband had died, and she came here, and was housekeeper for Mr. Bennett and the two girls. And Lee Palmer was working, he was working in the store for Bennett. And then Bennett was the town clerk and treasurer. And he got in wrong by, when they went to audit his books one year, they found there was quite a discrepancy in his accounts, and so they put him out of office. Happened on a town meeting day, and when he lost the office up there that day, at town meeting, he put on his cap. Well, the town meeting was held upstairs over the fire department. He put on his hat and walked out, and he came over here and shut the store door up. He never opened them after that. The store was closed. And then Lee Palmer was administrator of his estate when he passed away. And we put in these sealed bids and we got it. We went into the store there, and the shelving all around the store was, you'd think it was full of goods. Canned goods, you know, and shoes. Oh, everything. You'd think there was a lot of stock there. Boxes, the shoe boxes, and cans, canned corn cans, and canned salmon cans and everything. On the thing of the store.
Oh, gee.
On just those empty cans.
So you really wouldn't have bid so much if you'd known that.
Well, I don't think we ever went in there before.
No.
To look around. I just bought the real estate, that's all.
Mm-hmm. When was that?
Oh, that was 1929 that we were in together. Mm-hmm.
I know you were still working in it when we came in 1947. Did you just give it up about 10 years ago?
Well, I went back down on my farm. I sold out to Merrick in 1941.
Oh.
And I went down and back down on the farm there. And then Chester Way come along, the other boy bought the Merrill's farm and the farm south of the brick schoolhouse there.
Yeah.
And I thought we was getting an awful price.
It was awful for that time, just like they're awful nowadays.
Well, I know, well, I had a real estate of had an awful boom in it, in this part of the country.
Yes.
And when he was down on the farm, we'd read about these, in the West, about the big machinery that they was using, you know, and the land selling for $100 an acre and everything like that. Everybody said, well, they ought to go West. Never thought anything like that would ever happen to this part of the country.
No. Should have stayed here and made a fortune by holding on to the land, selling it.
Nobody had any idea that anything had ever happened that.
No.
But I don't know. I took my milk from that place down there where you are. We had there was three of us that owned, each of us owned a truck. My brother and I owned one together, And then Carl Walker owned one. And where Marshall lives, he owned one.
What was his name?
His name was McEwen, Rob McEwen.
Oh yes, I've heard that name.
Yeah. And we used to change off. We'd either want to take it 1 week or for 3 days or... Anyway, we had time set for each one, but if something come up that... one of us wanted, couldn't go, we'd get one of the others go in our place.
That was to the milk plant here?
No, that was to Middlebury.
To Middlebury, oh.
Middlebury. And we'd drawn our milk out there to Middlebury from here, and for $1.75 a hundred.
Didn't get much in those days.
No. Mattel's in there about the first settlers. It's different ones that settled here. They wouldn't have only a cow, a team of oxen, or two or three cows. How did they get a living in those days?
They didn't buy a thing.
No.
They did without.
Well, they raised big families.
Yes.
The population in the town of Bridgeport here. Population in 1791 was 449 souls.
Well, that was quite a lot.
Yeah, but I had it down here. The population had been up some years, or in the 1700s, was over 1,000 in here.
Yeah, in 1830, it was the highest, wasn't it? 1,200 or 1,400 and something?
1886, Bridgeport had a population of 1,168 people. Our Masonic Lodge over here was chartered in 1800, and they had 100 members.
Oh my.
Then. Now we're down to in the 40s. Now Reverend Increase Graves was the first settled minister, and he lived on the right over here in that brick house. H.N. Salas.
Oh?
He lived on the farm, H.N. Salas Farm. Now,
and so he farmed it as well as being a minister.
So.
Yeah.
Nathaniel Ellitharp was the first settler on the farm of John D. Brooks. That's down where the very easy. You can have this if you want it.
Yes, I would like it.
I got started, I thought there'd be quite a bit more. I got started on the second part here, but I didn't get it. There's a brick store over here. It was built by Paris Fletcher in 1826.
It's a long while ago to have it still standing. It's really a historic building.
They say the house has been sold. I don't know whether people live up here on it. I don't know if so or not. I want quoted as being sold, but one of the girls over here, her name is Linda Watson. And one of the fellows over here is John Deere. And I got him to paint the roof of our house here the last couple weeks ago. And but Linda and John are very friendly. They've been over here and they're nice.
Yes.
And she told Reba went over there the other day, and she told Reba that they'd sold. They bought a place up in the northern part of the state. They're going to move 1st of August.
Did they say who they sold it to?
Yeah, the people up there on the corner. They're on that gas station.
Oh.
I don't know what the names are. Mm-hmm. That's all I know. She told us. Reba that they'd sold.
So
I can't see how they'll live though. They haven't got a bed over there to sleep on the floor.
Sleep on the pads on the floor, yeah. So this Bennett store is older than the Fletcher store?
Yeah, I think so.